Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. This hour brought to you by Crazy Water. It's a wonderful product. I really have gotten hooked on the taste of it. If you haven't tried it yet, it's starting to be available in more and more places. You can go to drinkcrazywater.com and get more information about it. But if you haven't made it your water of choice, you need to consider it. I'm really a big fan. Come from Mineral Wells, Texas, the naturally mineralized water over there. There's different levels of the minerals and the different colors of the label on there. It explains it pretty well. I like the heavy duty one. I like the red, which is the strongest one of the bunch. We've got an open line for you here on the only number you need to use. It's 1-866-444-3478. We've got cold weather here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we're broadcasting from, talking to people across the country, of course. So whatever your gardening issues are, if you have some questions, if you have some things that aren't working well, you need some help with getting a new project started. We've been talking about all kinds of issues across the board. Whatever is totally open for you, 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter's free. You get it like 110,000 other people do by simply signing up on the website, dirtdoctor.com, or send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. We do have a members-only area. It's called the Organic Club of America, if you want to join that. That one does cost a little bit and has some additional benefits. I've done a bunch of books. I've written about 15 books, working on a couple more on various subjects about what we talk about here, if you want to see any of those in various categories. We've got books on plants, books on insects, professional book. There's the latest one that we did with co-authors John Ferguson and Dr. Michael Amaranthus. And a lot of information for you. And if you've got some tips, we don't mind that either. Some of the most important things that I recommend today came from some suggestions, some experiments that paid off from the listeners around the country or readers of my column. And, oh, by the way, I do have a column, too, in the Dallas Morning News. And it runs on Thursdays in the Dallas Morning News, and it's called Organic Questions. Back to the phone. Let me see what else had I needed to do that I didn't do. Dan in Cleburne, we're going to go to the phones. What's up?
Good morning, Howard.
How's it going?
Well, got a little problem. Due to what I now know is a terminal failure in one of my tractors, I haven't been able to aerate my pastures yet this year. And I was wondering if it's just too late, or is there still a window of opportunity?
Well, how often have you been aerating the land out there, Dan?
Usually, well, you know, I kind of check the soil, see what kind of compaction is going on, but usually every other year.
Well, once you are into an organic program, and I assume you are, if you're talking about aeration, you really shouldn't have to continue to do mechanical aeration unless you've done something, you know, to recompact the soil.
Yeah, that's the reason I kind of monitor it, because we do have cows on the pasture and horses as well, so there's always going to be some degree of surface compaction.
Well, if you're grazing your animal, well, if you don't have enough land and they're on there in the same place too long, that certainly can be a cause of the compaction. Generally, if you can move them around any at all, their hoof action is going to be aeration enough, especially especially if you're using an organic fertilizer program and the kind of things that we talk about here.
Oh, yes. After you gave me a gentle nudge about 20 years ago, we've been nothing but organic.
Okay, good. Well, you shouldn't need to do anything except some surface applications of things unless, you know, you're just having to continually overgraze areas. And then in that case, physical aeration and adding some compost and things like that would be good. And I think that in your situation, if you sprayed compost tea or the whole Garrett juice occasionally, it'd be all you'd need to do. And if you've got some areas that have recompacted for any reason, put an 8-ounce bottle or so of hydrogen peroxide in with the gallon of Garrett juice spray, and that'll do a liquid form of aeration for you where there's been new compaction. But if you don't have compaction, you don't need to do that.
Okay. That's we've been on the last three seasons, we've been on a liquid fertilizer program, and it's working out well. It's basically the Garrett juice and whatever other amendments need to be added based on soil tests.
Sounds like you're right on stream with what you're doing, and you're probably worrying about the mechanical physical aeration a little bit too much. Once you've done it on the front end of a project, like I say, unless there's some pretty severe recompaction, and with you doing an organic program, the only way the compaction would be done is if the horses and the cattle and the livestock in general are just simply in an area for too long, you know, over a period of time. And if that's the case, go back in and do the aeration, but try the hydrogen peroxide first and see if that works as well for you. It might, and be easier to do.
Oh, I'm sure it would be easier. Yeah. We try to keep, we've got 20 acres of pasture. We try to keep no more than 10 head of anything on there at any given time.
Well, it's not how many head per acre as much as it's getting rest to the area from time to time. So having smaller pastures, you know, paddocks, and moving them around, if you can do that, would maybe really help your situation. Okay.
Sounds like a good plan. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call. It's 866-444-3478. Scott in Wilson, Oklahoma, next up. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well. Thank you.
We just established a new yard. We're all organic, but mm-hmm. we've got a bad slope. I mean, it's really a drop-off. Mm-hmm. I was coming up the driveway a while ago. I just got you turned on. I heard you talking about salvia, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you recommend?
Well, it's a good perennial. The question was, they were asking what's a real good, easy-to-grow, dependable perennial, and I have to put it, you know, kind of top of the heap. It's such a flexible plant because there's so many colors. Some are lower growing than others. Really, really dependable about how long they bloom. They do need full sun. You're apparently asking if it'll do well on a slope, and the answer is yes. The only thing I would do for sure on a slope is after the plants have been installed, whether you use salvia, greggii, or something else, some other kind of salvia, some other kind of perennial, is I would mulch around the plants. Don't pile the mulch up on the plants, but mulch around the plants really well with a shredded material, either shredded hardwood bark, or even better than that is shredded native cedar or shredded native tree trimmings in general, you know, a mixture of trees.
Okay.
And it'll lock in place on a slope. You can put it on a slope one afternoon and have a heavy rain that night, and it won't go anywhere. It'll stay right there. That won't happen. That won't be the result if you put pine bark or some of the mulches that I don't recommend.
Now, it'll keep coming back year after year?
Yeah, it's a tough perennial, you bet.
And does it spread quite well?
Oh, not too much. You're going to get one individual plant that'll spread out probably 3 or 4 feet, something like that. Is about all you ought to depend on. So you need to, you know, plant them not jammed together, but fairly close together. Look on my website on dirtdoctor.com or any of my plant books. We've got some good information about the salvias, the various salvias in there. Greg, I just tends to be one of the most foolproof. That's why I recommended it today, and you heard that.
Oh, one more question.
Sure.
There's a sawmill down here that he doesn't cut anything but cedar, and he's got a lot of sawdust. Would that be good for anything?
Yeah, sure. Cedar mixed into your compost would be a good ingredient. Now, this is cedar lumber.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so that you got to understand that that's not like grinding up a cedar tree. If okay. When you grind up lumber, that's all carbon and all cellulose, or you know, for the most part. When you grind up a tree, it's got the buds and the cambium layer and green tissue and everything. So you've got a mixture of protein and carbohydrates, carbon all together, and it makes a real wonderful blend to use as a mulch or in the compost pile. When it's just 100, or, you know, real heavy carbon like you've got there, you need to mix it with some organic fertilizers, some green leaves, and that sort of thing, so it becomes a balance.
Yeah, he cuts lumber. You know, you take the logs down and...
Yeah. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run real quick. I'll be back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's go to Rome, Georgia, and talk to May. Hello, May.
Hello. I enjoy your program, and I listen quite often.
Well, thank you.
And I've, you know, did some of your things about growing different plants. But I have a tip for a man that called several calls back about noise from his neighbor's deck through his bedroom.
Okay.
And my tip is there's a show that comes on in my local area after y'all go off. It's called Money Pit.
Okay, yeah.
And they take questions also. And I have heard them say when I've listened to them before about noise from their neighbors, there's some kind of a product that you can put on the inside of your wall that keeps you from hearing noise.
An insulation material,
I don't know what it's, some kind of, I don't know if you hang it up on what's already there or not, but that might be something the man might want to check into.
Yeah, there's probably several different insulation type materials like that that can be painted on or added as paneling type situation. That's a good tip. And also, if there's windows there, you can get, you know, double or triple glazed windows and help. That's a good tip, Mike.
Okay, and since I'm on the air with you, I heard you saying that cypress is not a good mulch.
Mm-hmm.
In our area, what do you think would be the best mulch to put around plants?
Well, if you talk to the local nurseries and the companies that handle sand and gravel and compost and things like that, probably at least one of them, probably maybe more, will have what's just called native shredded tree trimmings. When a when a tree care company goes out and does tree trimming.
And there are quite a few around here lately because we've had all these storms that blow down a lot of trees.
That's right. Well, they grind that material up. You've probably seen it. And that ground up material, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I've never thought about that.
Now, it's in a real rough.
No matter if it is green?
Well,
I mean, like fresh?
Green and fresh is fine because, see, you've got that mixture of protein and carbon that I keep talking about. You've got the green cambium layers and bud tissue and leaves, and that mixed with the wood inside is perfect carbon to nitrogen ratio. And so you can use it as a top dressing mulch just straight out of the tree trimmer's grinding of the thing in the truck. It's better if it's reground, and some of the companies do that, so it's a little bit finer texture. It just looks better, but it works fine when it's in the real rough form.
Okay, appreciate it so much. Okay. And you were in our area a few weeks ago, close by.
I was.
And I was unable to attend because I wasn't feeling too well. And you were also on our local station, which I don't know what the interference was that day, but it wasn't too good.
Well, we always have a little technical thing jump up here and there, but I think everything's squared away now, and appreciate you being out there,
Mike. I listen to you all the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, we had a nice little visit with the about four different radio stations there in the Rome, Georgia area. And, by the way, those are all listed. If you go into dirtdoctor.com and on the homepage, if you click on the radio button that's right there in the middle, it'll tell you what all stations we're on in different cities, and you can find where the place is that's closest to you. And you can always listen online as well. Jim in Rome, Georgia, is next up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Howard. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, we live in the mountains of northwest Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And back about 7 years ago, I built an arbor in the backyard, and I planted some wisteria to climb around it. I don't know the name of the wisteria. I bought it at the local nursery. And in this area, we have beautiful wild wisteria all over.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it vines and it greens out great, but there's no flowers.
Well, it's a very common question that I get, Jim, and there's a couple of things I can recommend that you do, and then there's a third possibility that you may not like hearing, but the first things that I would try would be to not fertilize too heavily. A lot of people will fertilize their wisterias thinking that that's going to make them bloom better and everything, and it makes them grow real well, but it puts all the energy into the green tissue and not into setting buds for the flowering. The product that we recommend for setting buds and flowers that works better than anything that we've ever run into is this formula called Garrett Juice. The formula is on my website. You can make it yourself or you can buy the commercial products. I don't know if they're in the local stores there real easy to find or not, but you can get it either way, and that will help you set buds very well on that plant. Some people will recommend doing what's called root pruning to wisteria, going out a couple of feet from the base of the plant and just digging a little ditch down in the ground and severing the roots that are growing out, causing the plant to grow new roots back in closer to the stem and then start new growth of roots out from there. And sometimes that can stimulate bud set and flowers. The final possibility, though, is that a lot of wisterias that are on the market are propagated from plants that grow in a climate that's, north of you. And they don't like being where you are. You see what I mean? They're not adapted to the weather and the soil that you have. So if you try the Garrett Juice, the root pruning, I probably wouldn't go to the trouble to do that. I think drenching with a nice drench of Garrett Juice, which is compost tea, vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and fish, and if that doesn't help you set flowers, it may be one of those varieties that is just never going to flower very well for you. If you have been fertilizing real heavily, cut back on that. That can help you. But
all right. Well, Howard, one more question. What about pruning of them?
Well, you don't prune them much. That's the other thing I should have mentioned. If you prune them heavily, you can cut the budding part of the vine off, so don't do that. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's had a, quote, very spirited discussion today with Iraq's prime minister in Baghdad on the subject of Iranian overflights. Kerry says he made it clear that Iraq should not allow Iran to use its airspace to ship weapons and fighters to Syria. The leader of the Western-backed Syrian opposition coalition has resigned today, citing insufficient international support for the rebels. John Kerry says he's sorry to hear about that, but the Secretary of State says it will not affect the U.S. effort to try and force Syrian President Bashar Assad to step down. 2 days after violent clashes in Egypt, President Mohamed Morsi is warning that, quote, appropriate measures will be taken against politicians found to be responsible. And Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki is standing by his comment to end the disability claims backlogged by 2015. This is SRN News.
After I turned 40, my body started changing. I didn't feel as attractive as I used to.
I started experiencing hot flashes, but the weight gain, that was the worst, especially the belly fat.
I started taking Ambrin, and I finally lost the weight. It was so easy. I feel as beautiful today at 50 as I did when I was 30.
Thank goodness for Ambrin. It rebalances your hormones naturally, which relieves the symptoms of hormonal imbalance and menopause, like weight gain, hot flashes, fatigue, low libido, and more. Ambrin is the advanced all-natural formula, clinically shown to cause weight loss in women over 40, with no big change in lifestyle required.
Ambrin definitely made me feel energetic and sexy again.
For a limited time, you can try Ambrin risk-free and get a 30-day supply free. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-280-1656. That's 1-800-280-1656. 1-800-280-1656.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Miami Heat looking for their 26th straight win at home tonight against Charlotte is grabbing all the headlines, but the Denver Nuggets have an impressive streak of their own with 15 straight victories after a 101-95 victory over Sacramento Saturday. Nuggets forward Danilo Gallinari with 19 points says it's great to be part of a franchise record-tying 15-game winning streak.
I'm part of the Nuggets history, and that's great. We did something special for this franchise, and so everybody will remember this team for what we did.
The Nuggets have moved into third of the West. Chicago overcame the absence of injured starting center Joakim Noah to earn an 87-84 victory over Indiana. Carmelo Anthony scored 28 points in New York's 110-84 win over Toronto. Seven Memphis players finished in double figures and three recorded double-doubles. As the Grizzlies down Boston 110-106, it was Detroit 92, Charlotte 91. The LA Clippers 101, Brooklyn 95, Golden State 101, Washington 92. This is SRN Sports. In the NHL, neither the Canadiens nor Bruins could make up any ground in the East. Montreal lost to Buffalo 2-1 and Boston to Toronto 3-2. Montreal remains 3 points behind the East-leading Penguins with the Bruins 5 back. Minnesota shut out San Jose 2-0, while forward Zach Parise with a goal says the first period set the tone.
I thought we came out with a good start and the right mindset, and I had a good first period. And like I said, we've had good starts recently, and I think that's really helped us out, play with a little more confidence.
Minnesota remains tied with Vancouver for the Northwest Division lead. It was Ottawa 5-3 over Tampa Bay. Vancouver 1, Los Angeles nothing. New Jersey 2, Florida 1. Dallas 5, Colorado 2. Nashville 5, Columbus 2. St. Louis 3-0 over Edmonton. Tiger Woods worked his way to the top of the leaderboard with a 6-under-66 in round 3 of the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Played pretty solid all day. You know, I hit a lot of good shots. I hit a lot of good putts, especially when the wind started blowing.
Woods takes a 2-shot lead in today's final round and can reclaim the number one ranking for the first time since late October of 2010. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Voss.
All righty, Dirt Doctor back with you. And you might be able to get on here before the end of the show at 866-444-3478. Right now, we're going to go to Mansfield and talk to Patsy. Hey, Patsy.
Well, hello there. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. And you?
I'll be better when you answer my question.
Let's give it a shot.
Is it too late to plant spring bulbs, for example, iris, gladiolus, daffodils, etc.?
It's not too late for the season following this coming one. It's too late for this spring.
Okay, so I put them in the ground now. They will not bloom this year, but they will bloom next year.
No, well, some bulbs can tolerate that and last till next year, but the best thing to do would be to keep them protected somehow and plant them at the right time next fall. What are you talking about specifically? Daffodils and tulips and things like that?
I love them all. I love iris. I love gladiolus. I love daffodils. I love tulips.
Which
one could I plant now that I can hope will come up next year?
Well, the daffodils you can plant right now, and the irises you can plant right now. What I thought you were talking about was, not daffodils. You can plant daylilies now. Daffodils and tulips and things like that really need to be planted in the fall, and then we plant the tulips kind of late, late winter, but we're too far into the spring now. They would grow, but they'd be little short things and wouldn't be very showy at all.
So, but what I guess my basic question would be, what can I plant now in a bulb
can you plant
variety?
The things that bloom.
I don't care how it looks this year. I want to make sure it comes up next year.
Plant now would be spider lilies and things like that that bloom in the fall. And there are some amaryllis that bloom in the summer that can be planted now. The crinum lilies can be planted now. They're great big old bulbs that I've got some. I bought a bunch of them, and I got some that are I wish I'd gotten the white ones. I got the ones that are kind of a loud pink, but they can be planted now, and there'll be a permanent situation for you. What's the little white? I want to say silver bells is a perennial that could be planted pretty much any time. But your best bet right now would be the red spider lilies or the summer blooming amaryllis and those type things. For daffodils and tulips, you need to wait till next fall and winter.
Okay, is there any special preparation that one must do to bulbs prior to planting them? For example, about 30 years ago, I bought some bulbs that said put them in the refrigerator. I found them in the garage refrigerator years later.
Well, people...
they didn't bloom.
People will tell you to do that to tulip bulbs, but the really good nurseries do all that cold treatment for you, and you don't really need to worry about that too much. If you're dealing with a reputable retail store, they're going to be giving you taking care of the cold hours and all that for you. So don't worry about that. You can store those bulbs for later use in peat moss in a nice, cool, dark place, and they'll last in peat moss for a long time. That's one of the great uses for peat moss. I don't use it in the ground, but I do use it for storing things.
And then
as far as the beds, you just do the same bed preparation that I recommend for everything, compost, rock powders, and sugars. And that's all explained right under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
I see. And in Mansfield, Texas, which is just south of Arlington, in between Dallas and Fort Worth, which I will not say who is better, Dallas or Fort Worth, because we all know it's Fort Worth. But anyway, sir, can you point me to a good reputable nursery, one or two of them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Well, you've got a place called Weston Gardens in Bloom, not very far from you there. So,
I'm sorry, please repeat that.
It's called Weston, W-E-S-T-I-N, Weston Gardens in Bloom.
Weston, W-E-S-T-I-N-G, Weston?
No, Weston, W-E-S-T-I-N. Look at my website, and you can find the people that are nearby that have organic stuff. And they have native plants and lots of perennials. They deal with roses, old roses, and it'd be a good place for you to start. And then you can go from there. Appreciate your call very much. Call us again. It's Andrea in Dallas now. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, good morning, Howard.
How are you?
I'm doing well on this cold morning. I have a question about kiwi berries. I did look on the Dirt Doctor website, and I couldn't find any information on them. Are they something that we can grow here?
Yes, you can. And what they are is little bitty kiwis that are cold hardy, and they don't have fuzz. They've got a smooth skin, and they are cold hardy. However,
I knew there was a however.
Yeah. If it gets much lower than 30 degrees, they're going to have trouble, and they like a better soil than we have. You know, that's one of those things that is almost in a blueberry category of liking a more acid soils to make sure that your trace minerals are available. Now, you with an organic program, you're going to be probably okay in that category. But if you have what we have in Texas often, nice warm weather, you know, in the middle of the winter, 80 degrees, and then it drops to 20 degrees. That'll kill them.
So, that will kill them. Yeah. Now, what if I covered them? Would I be able to cover them?
If you covered them with floating row cover, and if it's going to be a dramatic, dramatic change, probably piling up, pine needles or some kind of fluffy mulch over the base of them in addition to the floating row cover, you can probably keep them alive. Is that okay. worth the effort or not? Probably is. In your situation, you got the room for it. Let's experiment with it. I'm putting you in charge of this research.
Okay.
And let's see how they work.
I will do it. So it sounds like I'm going to need to get my soil down to a pH of around 5. Which
I don't think so. If you just have plenty of rock powders and sugars in your bed preparation, which you probably already do anyway, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Use the Garrett Juice Plus as a drench, and use the new biological product. That it's not new; it's been around for a long time. They just have it in retail packaging now. That is very heavily concentrated, and I'd recommend you try. It's called Bio SI.
Hey,
yeah.
I think I've used that before.
It's great. Give it a try. Let me know how it works for you. Keep me posted.
I sure will. Thank you, Howard.
See you.
Bye.
It's TJ in Arlington next up. Hey, TJ.
Hi, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Thanks.
City of Arlington gave me four trees, two of them being cedar elms. I was in the path of that tornado last April.
Uh-huh.
And the cedar elms have this growth on the limbs and the trunk. These are just, you know, small seedlings that they've distributed to the folks, and I'm wondering if that's just natural with the cedar elm.
Is it flat and kind of winged like?
Yeah, and it's brittle. I mean, I can break it off with my thumb, but it still leaves some of it attached to the.
Okay, well, don't break it off. That's a natural growth. That's not a cedar elm. That's a winged elm, and it's very, very closely kin to the cedar elm. In fact, a lot of people would say it's the same thing, and it's just sported to develop that growth in the bark. That's bark tissue that's coming out like that, and it's, I think, kind of decorative. I don't mind it at all, and it doesn't mean that your plant is sick or has anything going wrong with it. That's just a little bit different kind of a cedar elm, and a lot of people would say it's a totally different variety. If you look at my website, dirtdoctor.com, I think we've got some information about the winged elms there, and I know we do in the my tree book, Texas Trees.
They said it was a cedar elm. Is that a cedar elm?
Well, no, it's a winged elm, but it's very, very closely kin. Some people would argue, the late Benny Simpson, he and I used to talk about trees quite a bit, and he would tell me, he said, Howard, sometimes to know whether this is a white ash or a Texas ash or something else is to kick the soil and see what the soil looks like, or if it's a Schumard red oak or a Texas red oak or something like that, you got to look at where it's growing and all that. And these things crossbreed. They're very promiscuous, and there's crossbreeding going on. So sometimes you can have a plant that's partly cedar elm and partly winged elm, and others, you know, more blood one direction or the other. It's a good tree. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy that feature that the stems have.
Okay, I clipped a bunch of them off with my fingers.
Now don't do that anymore. It's a waste of time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Howard.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and you can look it up on the website or in my book for a little bit more info. Ann in Granbury next up. Hey, Ann.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question about our lawn. About 3 or 4 years ago, my husband used the stuff you buy from Home Depot and burned up our lawn. I know, but we're not doing that anymore.
Okay.
We've gone organic, but we really haven't done anything to the lawn. We've really done the organic more in the garden. But this year we want to fix up our lawn, and we've been hearing about the black cow.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already done the, what's it called? The dried molasses.
Okay.
And but we want to do the black cow, and should we do that instead of the chicken poop?
Well, either one is fine as an organic fertilizer. If you haven't done it before, a thin layer of compost would be a real good thing to do, and then use your blended organic fertilizer maybe in June.
Okay. And then should we, you know, it's the grass is still, you know, the dead stuff on top.
Uh-huh.
Should we use the lawnmower and catch all those dead clippings and
well,
then do the
Well, that's a good point. I did a commentary about that. I don't recommend scalping in the spring. I should have brought that up earlier in the show. All I recommend, Ann, is to set your mower about one notch lower than you normally mow. And just clean it up, just tidy it up a little bit. And you can mulch that material into the soil. If you have an excess of it, you can toss that in the compost. But, no, you don't want to scalp because scalping down hard does a bunch of bad things. And the worst one is that it exposes soil and allows weed seed to germinate and kind of encourages the weeds. So you want to just drop it down one notch, tidy it up, neaten it up. Put down your, you've already done dry molasses, do either the half inch of compost and or the organic fertilizer or wait for the fertilizer in June and you'll be off and running.
Okay. I certainly appreciate it. And by the way, my other question was about the elm tree the man just talked about.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. And you answered our question. We thought it was a fungus.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I got to run.
Okay. Have a good one. Thanks.
Howard Garrett, be back right after this. Don't go away.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at BioSITechnology.com.
One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life.
Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company's been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products longer than anyone in the business. Medina has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Medina products work by stimulating the soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, which is great. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com, and you'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell quality organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Let's go to David in Paris, Texas, I assume it is. Hi, David.
Yes. How are you doing, Howard?
Doing good.
First of all, about the winged elm tree, I have a lot of those up here in my woods. And up here, they're kind of an understory tree. They don't really get very big. But you let one of them get out into a good spot that they like and without too much competition, and they make a beautiful 40 or 50-foot tree.
Oh, it's a good tree.
Beautiful tree.
It's very common, too. I think if people look around, they'll see that those winged stems are out there more than they thought.
Well, my question, my vegetable garden is coming along very good, and now we're going to get down to 28 or 27 degrees tonight.
Did you plant tomatoes and peppers already?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I have better sense than that.
A lot of people did.
But my spinach is about an inch tall.
Don't worry about it.
My sweet peas, sugar snap peas.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Lettuce, how about that?
Don't worry about it.
And beets, I'm not worried about.
Nope. That stuff is cool season stuff, and it can take, what frost we get. If you want to just, go over the top, protecting them, David, and put floating row cover down, it's not going to hurt anything. If it were my garden, I probably wouldn't do it. Now, is there a possibility it gets down to 29 and burns the edges of those plants pretty bad? Yeah, it's possible, I guess. But if it were my garden, I probably wouldn't do it.
I'm probably not either because I have a large garden.
Yep.
And just real quickly, my pear trees, I've never seen such volume of blossoms.
Yeah, they're pretty, aren't they?
They have exploded.
There's nothing you can do.
I know. The trees are too big, and that's going to set them back, isn't it?
Not necessarily. They can take a little bit of right near frost, and what might happen is
maybe 27 degrees.
Well, if it gets that low, it could damage a lot of them. I hadn't heard that number that low. In Paris, a little bit farther east, maybe a little tiny bit more north, it's possible.
More north.
little bit north of the Metroplex, aren't you?
Very much north. I'm right on the Red River.
All you can do is continue to do your organic program. You've been using organics in the past, and that gives you about 4 to 5 degrees protection. If it gets that cold, you'll probably lose some of the buds, some of the fruit set. Some of the flowers are going to get knocked off, and you'll have some left. And it might not even be bad. It might give you fewer but larger fruit.
Yeah, it'll thin it out, and it probably needs it.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks.
Good luck. Keep me posted.
Thanks for your comfort.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Yeah, well, it's a little colder than it's going to get in Dallas. I think about as cold as it's going to get here, hopefully, is around 33 or something like that. Christine in Waxahachie next up. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Mr. Garrett. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. I was getting ready to fertilize my lawn, you know, black cow or something like that.
Okay.
And then I thought I heard you tell someone 2 or 3 calls back to wait until June. Is that necessary?
Well, what they were talking about is putting out black cow now and then using a blend fertilizer, poultry-based material as a second thing. And you could put it all out, both of them out at the same time. But if you're going to put out black cow, it's a good quality compost and functions like a fertilizer, and you could just wait till June to put out your blended fertilizer. It's two different things.
Because I would prefer to put something out now while it's still cool.
No, that'd be great. And one thing that I didn't make a big enough point about before, they said they in the past had used the nasty stuff, and I should have mentioned early in the show, this is when people see all the ads on TV for the weed and feed fertilizers or the Scott's Bonus S. And I know you know it, but for everybody else, Scott's Bonus S is the worst thing you can do because it has atrazine in it and is a very damaging fertilizer to your shrubs and trees. I don't recommend any synthetic fertilizer or any weed and feed, but Scott's Bonus S is the worst.
Yeah, I luckily haven't used that kind of stuff in a while. Flea control for this coming year, what do you recommend?
Beneficial nematodes work beautifully. And I just ran into a big company in Canada this past week that manufactures them and sells them through the normal distribution chain in the garden center business and everything. So they're going to be more available than ever. This company's been there. I just found out about them, and they're getting rolling. So buying your beneficial nematodes mail order and getting them out right away is something that I strongly recommend, and the flea problem will just be a thing of the past for you.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the help.
Appreciate the call.
Bye.
It's two things that I recommend heavily. One's Trichogramma wasp, and there is still, you know, a little bit of a debate there about the butterflies. I don't see any evidence of it at all, but when I use Trichogramma wasp, I control the moths and the related caterpillars from being born that eat the trees and the vegetable crops and all that, and I still have butterflies everywhere. In fact, I had a really large crop of Gulf fritillaries last year on a white passion vine that Bob Webster gave me. It's one he discovered down in San Antonio somewhere, and we'll try to get it on the market up here. It's going to be kind of in the category for me of the almond verbena, recommending it to everybody. When we first started talking about it 3 years or whatever ago, you couldn't buy it in the Dallas-Fort Worth area anywhere. Today, if you call around, you'll be able to find it. I recommend that to everybody out there, too, even if you're in the north, buying it and using it as an annual. It's just a fantastic plant. White flowers, extremely fragrant all summer, attracts beneficial insects, bumblebees, honeybees, various pollinating flies and all that, better than any plant you've ever seen. Almond verbena, but put out your Trichogramma wasp for control of a whole bunch of pests. Put them out in cards, and then the nematodes in the ground. Howard Garrett, see you next time.